Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful for life and for faith, for your Spirit who leads us through our days, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you this morning, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself. And Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your bulletin is a sheet. It's got sermon notes on one side. It's got some fill in the blank, and then it's got some questions. What is the one thing you feel God is speaking to you about during this service? What is it that God is trying to impress upon your heart? And then what does God want you to do in your life? What does God want you to do in your life as a result of how God is speaking to you this morning? On the flip side is a set of devotions for you to follow for this week. I've changed it up again a little bit, so you'll have to read through it to understand exactly what it is that God is trying to do in your life. Now, if you were really listening to the scripture this morning that was just read to you, that you saw with your own eyes up on the screen, what was the most consistent, the most used word in that passage? Faith. Faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is often called the Hall of Faith, the Hall of Faith chapter of the Bible, because it lists some of the great acts of faith by the ancients. Only some of the acts of faith are listed here, because if they were all written out, there would not be enough room or time. Each act of faith, no matter the size, can be considered an act of faith that is deserving of the Hall of Faith. And within this chapter, faith is defined for us. Let's read what that is. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Faith is what? Confidence. Confidence or assuredness in what we hope for, and an assurance or a certainty about what we cannot see. Of course, the subject of our faith in this verse is who? Who's the subject of our faith? God. God is the subject of our faith. And faith is having confidence or sureness that God, and what God says He will do for us, He will do. And the assurance or certainty of what we can't see God doing, or what we can't see in God. This is what the ancients, our parents in the faith, were commended for. Our parents in the faith were much admired, celebrated, and applauded for their belief in God, the hope of in what God was going to do, what God did, and the willingness to follow God's lead in their lives. We see names like Abel, who really was the first one who brought an offering to God that we know of in the Bible. Enoch, who was so faith-filled and faithful about God, whom he could not see, that he did not experience death, the scriptures tell us, as God simply took him to heaven. He's one of two who never died in the Bible. Abraham and Sarah, who were too old for kids, had a hope for what they could not see, as God said, I will build a great nation from you, from your child. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and others are mentioned by name, as there wasn't enough space or time to list all of these great acts of faith, each having a confidence in God and what God promised He would do, even if it wasn't in their lifetime that this action would get fulfilled, this promise, each of us having an assurance, a certainty in the God that they could not see. Have any of you ever been to a Hall of Fame type of place? A Hall of Fame type of place? What kind of place was that? Rock and roll, baseball, hockey. What was that? Baseball? Yeah, there are sports halls of fame, many of which we're familiar with, and they display great acts of athleticism by gifted athletes. There are music hall of fames for gifted musicians. Did you know? No kidding. There is an RV and motorhome hall of fame in Elkhart, Indiana. Did you know that? Did you know that there is even a toy hall of fame in Rochester, New York? I did not know that either. But the problem with these types of halls is that we think to ourselves, there's no way that I could make it into something that special. After all, who am I? I could never do or make something that would warrant such attention on a national or a state or even a local Hall of Fame. And when you look at the names on the Hall of Faith, well, there's no way I could make that list. After all, who am I? What has God asked me to do that was so spectacular? Something that I could accomplish. And we think to ourselves, what's the point? I'll just believe in Jesus. I'll attend worship service occasionally and call it good. Really? As we have been looking at how we experience God via Henry Blackaby's book of the same name, we've learned a number of things. And the first one is God is always at work around you. God is always at work around you, whether you see it or not. God is seeking to be in a relationship with all of His created beings, which includes you, me, our families, our friends, our associates, school friends, work associates, neighbors, everyone. God wants to be in a relationship with them. And God is at work in their lives and around us to accomplish that. Two, God pursues a continual love relationship with you that is real and personal, a continuing love relationship, one where there is open communication on a regular basis, one that is real and personal, and God wants to enter into that with, yes, you! And God wants to enter into that with everyone you know. So, goes back to number one, God's continually at work in the world around us. Number three, God invites you to become involved with Him and His work. When you look at this list of people of faith, it wasn't God just doing a bunch of stuff. It was God working in and through others to accomplish and build relationships that would impact people for generations to come. God always invites us to become involved in the work that He's doing around us. And that leads us to what we looked at last week, the last couple of weeks. God speaks to us. God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. Yes, God does speak to us in various ways. And when we truly listen, when we invite God and get to know God, invite God into our lives and get to know Him, what He is doing, and how He wants to do it, we can then work alongside Him in the work that He is already doing, that He invites us to be a part of. Today we will look at something I think we all know about in our hearts, but may not have put much thought into it, and it's this. God's invitation for you to work with Him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. Read that with me. God's invitation for you to work with Him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. Do you know what a spiritual marker is? Do you know what a spiritual marker is? A spiritual marker is a time of transition, decision, or direction when I clearly know God has guided me. Does that make sense? A spiritual marker is a time of transition, decision, or direction when I clearly know that God has been guiding me. We all have them. I just don't know that we all think about it in terms of a spiritual marker. You see, I can say that I have on occasion given this idea of God's invitation leads to a crisis of belief requiring faith and action, some thought. I have thought about that. The first time was in a seminary class where we talked about this very topic. What are the spiritual markers in your life? What are those spiritual events where God has helped you to make a transition, a decision, or change of direction in your life that leads you to or closer to God? Because when you do think about it, as you look back on your life in conjunction with God, there are those transitions, there are those decisions, there are those directional changes that God has led you in. Sometimes we look back at it and say, that was just a coincidence. Something spiritual happened in our lives when in reality the Holy Spirit led us to experience God or to make some transition in our lives. It wasn't just a coincidence, it was a God incident. Looking back on my life, you might think my call to ministry was the big spiritual marker, the really big one. And on one hand, it was. But on the other hand, it was simply a response. It was simply a response to what God had already been doing in my life. And it was simply the next step on that journey that God had me on. It's a journey I can say with joy now includes walking with you in all of our spiritual journeys. But my first two important spiritual journeys were these. Let me read one to you. Mr. Martinson, teaching my Sunday school class on either the Lord's Prayer or the Apostles' Creed. This was when I was in, I think, the third or fourth grade. I was 8 or 9 years old. We spoke of you, Lord. I tend to write to the Lord when I do this kind of stuff. We spoke of you, Lord, in a way that made you real to me. 8 or 9 years old. I don't remember the specifics of the text, but you became real to me that Sunday morning in Sunday school class. That transition for me is that God became more real. It changed how I understood God from something that was up in heaven to someone who was in heaven. Someone asked, why do we have this playground over here even though we don't have any kids? And my response to that is God led someone to prepare for what God wants to do in this church. We may not see those children now, but God is working in their lives to be here one day, to be playing or to be praying during the rest of the service. Yes, we worship here, but we also want to have an environment that welcomes all people into the family of God, beginning with the very young, so that they might have a spiritual marker in their life where God does a work of transition, that they might know and love God. My second entry is a little bit longer. Again, I tend to write these to God. As I think, this is a general overtime marker, where despite all the junk in Dad's life, As I think about this, this is a general overtime over a long period. Marker, I knew what I was writing, but I had to reword that for you. Marker where, despite all the junk in Dad's life, we remained in the life of the church, still connected to you through the body of Christ. And when Dad was no longer a viable minister, we still attended church, still connected through the body. When Dad violated us, I didn't blame you. And after his death, we continued to go to church, connected to you through the body of Jesus. Thank you for a mom who didn't turn away from you when she could have blamed you and turned her brood of chicks from you. Instead, with your help, she kept us under your wing to protect us from the stupid things we would do. I did some stupid things as a kid. Thank you, Lord, for your body, the church. It reminded me these types of things as I go through these spiritual markers where God has led me through a spiritual transition, a decision or direction in my life, that I have to praise and thank God for those things. It reminds me in those moments where I, for some reason, can't, even though I could not see or hear God, that I know God was still present in my life and that He still is. The assurance about what I can't see. And it boosts, it strengthens, it reinforces my faith in a God who is always faithful. And as I look back on these events in my life, I realize that there are events in your life where God is helping you to make a transition from the very dirty to the filtered. Where God is wanting you to make some decisions or make a change in direction in your life, and God is there trying to help you. It is happening to all people all the time. So don't ever tell me, where is God at work in my life? Or where is God at work in the lives of the people around me? You gotta know the things we cannot see, right? The assurance of the things we cannot see. That God is at work in everyone's life. And that God is making a spiritual marker with them. And my question is, how can we, as God's people, help them to make that transition, that decision, that change in direction? I can say as I look back at the spiritual markers in my life, I've grown only when I've come to a moment of invitation or crisis of belief in which I have chosen to believe. When I have chosen to believe, no more than just believing, no more than that, but taking an action in my life. Dennis was one of those spiritual markers through which God helped me to deepen my worship in Christ. Dennis and I met in computer class in college. We sat near each other up front in a class where the professor was from a foreign country and his accent was so difficult to understand that everyone in the class was shaking their head. His exams were extremely difficult. And with Dennis and I, it first started as comments to each other, you know, the chair between us. We, did you understand that? To eventually it led to more conversation about what we experienced, to eventually leading to walking out of class together and talking for a while or going to eat. I found out that Dennis lived in a place called His House at campus, which was a house for centered on faith in Jesus. And I wouldn't say that Dennis evangelized me, but he stood by his faith in God as a personal relationship, a real relationship with Jesus, which was really a relatively new concept for me. And it was after graduation, probably about, I'd say, another year after graduation when I moved to the Detroit area that Dennis and I connected again, playing 4-on-4 basketball on Tuesday nights at a local church. And we talked more, we spoke more about God, and he lent me some Christian music, which I played often in my car, and it changed my understanding of worship. It was a real time of transition for me in my relationship with God. Was I going to continue to be a Sunday morning Christian only? Or was I going to be an everyday morning, noon, and night worshiper of God? When I look back, God was inviting me into a deeper relationship with Him to deepen my faith in a way where I could begin to take some concrete action in my life. And this action was a series of changes on not only how I viewed the Christian life, as well as changes in lifestyle or activities, some of which I know were not pleasing to God. Yet I called myself a Christian. When God invites us to join Him, it causes a crisis of belief that wants to not only deepen our faith, but calls us to action. And often that action is either to add a Christian element to our lives, maybe a spiritual discipline, like Bible reading, prayer, worshiping God, or sharing our faith with others whose journey is with God, or becoming maybe more involved in what God is doing in the life of the church around us through His Son's bride, the church, or loving others into the kingdom of God. Or that action may be to stop something that we're doing that isn't spiritually healthy for us, as God wants to filter out the crap in our lives, the dirt that is so prevalent to us. One of those things early on for me was drinking. My dad was an alcoholic. I had a problem stopping at one. And so I had to finally decide not to drink at all. In the newsletter last month, I spoke about a person who removed three games from their phone and replaced it with an electronic Bible. And now the time that he would have spent playing those three games, he's been reading the Bible. And now, as of my last conversation with him, he's halfway through the entire Bible because he removed three games that were filtered out of his life to make more room for God. Transitions, decisions, changes in direction, faith called to action. Now, in this hall of faith, we see some pretty spectacular acts of faith by some people who we could possibly say are great giants of the faith. And yet they began as people like you and me, trying to live life as best they could when they encountered the living God. And in each moment of faith crisis, they had to decide to believe in what they could not see and act in accordance to God's will, or not act accordance to God's will. And when they did, wow, what a difference it made, not only in their faith development, but in how God used them. You ready? To change the world. I mean, we're reading about these people 3,500 years after their faithfulness to God, and it impacts our world today. My friend Dennis to me, could be listed in this hall of faith as well as Mr. Martinson, my Sunday school class teacher, and as well as my mom who kept us in church. And Dennis, not because he had this evangelical meeting, or we had meetings in which thousands came to the Lord on a nightly basis. That wasn't Dennis. He was a very quiet guy. He was not one to interject himself into the lives of others. No, but because he lived out his faith in plain and practical ways before a guy that God was working on, trying to get back or to get into a practice of real faith and action. You see, Dennis entered into the work God was trying to do in my life. You know, I don't know Dennis. Did he say to himself at one moment or the next, should I say something or anything about God to Paul? Or if he questioned himself, should I share with him about my faith in Christ? I don't know if he asked those questions. I don't know if he asked, will it chase Paul away from Jesus if I say anything? Or will it draw him closer to Christ? It seems to me he chose to put his belief to action and it made a difference in my life. Just as I hope my faith is making a difference in your lives. And that your faith is making a difference in the lives of those around you. Because you're putting your faith into action. You see, a crisis of belief requires a growth of faith or action. Because what we choose to believe tells others what we really believe about God. Does that make sense? What we believe about God and what we put into action about God tells others what we truly believe about God. So when you have people who say in your life, hey, I'm a Christian, but they never grace the door of a church, what does that tell you about their belief in God? What does it tell you about someone's belief in God when they continually take God's name in vain? Even in the most simplest ways. Oh my, not really speaking to God. Not really talking about God, but they're using God's name in vain. What does that tell you about their belief in God? Maybe that it's quite shallow. Or maybe it's just something they wear on their sleeves. What you believe about God, what you put into action, your faith in action, tells others really what you believe in God. You know, the Bible's too hard to read. Well, that tells people something about your belief in God. Oh, I don't do anything with that church. Man, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, that tells people a little bit about your belief in God. Do you understand? You're a walking billboard, whether you want to be or not. And your faith that demands action is like a neon light on that billboard, displaying to others what your belief in God is. This last verse I want to share with you, really the verse you should commit to your heart this week, from Hebrews 11:6. Read it with me. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You see, if you're going to grow in your life with God, you must understand that your faith will be tested. It will be challenged to grow. It will be challenged to action. If you're not experiencing crises of faith that calls you to action every now and then, can you truly say that you are growing in your relationship with God? Because God wants or pursues to be in a continual love relationship with us that is real and personal. A continual love relationship. Not a one-time transaction that you get when you purchase something and you've got your receipt and say, yep, I'm in. That has nothing to do with God. Oh, I remember when I was a kid, my Sunday school teacher said something about Jesus, and it was one of those moments of clarity in my life. But nothing changed after that. God wants to be in a continual love relationship that will bring about moments of crisis of belief in our lives that call us to faith and action. And if you're not experiencing that, then you're not growing in God. And that's just the plain truth. If you're to grow in your life with God, you must understand that your faith will be tested and challenged to grow. Tested to action. If you're not experiencing this crisis of faith that calls you to action every now and then, can you truly say that you're growing in your relationship with God? And the answer would be no. To say, I love you, Jesus, is a wonderful thing. Say it with me. I love you, Jesus. But love for Jesus is an action word. It's an action word requiring an active faith. A call to action. The rewards come to those that earnestly what? Earnestly seek Him. This week I want you to think about how God has moved in your life. Those spiritual markers that God has placed where you have made a transition, where you've made a decision, or where you've made a change in direction toward God. Where God has caused you to grow in your relationship with God. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will guide you so that you can see how God has pursued you, continually pursued you, has continually invited you to work with Him, who has spoken to you to draw you closer to Himself, and to use you to help others in their faith journey too. Because whether you realize it or not, or whether Dennis realizes it, or Mr. Martinson, or my mom realizes it or not, they're in my hall of faith. And the scary thing is that other people might be putting me in their hall of faith. And I know that there are people around you that need you to step up and put your faith to action, because you're being put into somebody's hall of faith because of something you're doing for God, something that you're saying for God, somehow how you're living for God. You're being put into somebody's hall of faith, and that is an awesome responsibility. And I think it's just awesome to think about it, don't you? That God could use even me to help someone else grow in their faith. Isn't that awesome? Yes, Pastor, it's an awesome thought. God loves you. God's going to use you. God is using you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for this moment, this opportunity to deepen our faith in you, to love you, to hear you, to have you move in our lives, that we might not just say we love you, but that we might demonstrate our love to you and be used by you in the lives of others. Holy God, help us to believe that you can and will use each of us gathered here this morning to grow your kingdom in our lives and in the lives of those we know and love. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,